Good morning to you all. I'm excited to be standing here this morning. I haven't preached for more than 2 years. Since I moved from parish ministry to chaplaincy, and as a chaplain, my job is to listen to people more than to preach. So people have asked me, "Do you miss preaching?" And I say, "Yes, I do, because I do miss preaching." So when I was asked if I would preach here this morning, I said yes immediately. And I looked forward to this until I realized what I said yes to. Ruth chapter 4. You just heard it. What on earth can anyone say about this? This chapter sounds all about complicated legal procedures in old Israel, about redeeming relatives, about sandals, buying land and getting a wife together with land. Who wants to preach about that? So I was tempted by the idea of just listening to you instead. That's what I can do. But if you listen to me and I listen to you and we do that at the same time, things would turn out kind of silent this morning. So I reminded myself, I'm a relay racer. Yeah, there's like 4 runners, and don't they pass one baton to the next baton? And everybody has to do their part, otherwise the whole team loses. So the runners 1, 2, 3 have gone. And so here I am. I got the baton. And so I better not drop it. Otherwise the whole team will be disqualified. So, here goes. Let's see what we can pull out of this story. Let's tackle it from its end. Because there we can see that a painful and arduous journey full of loss and full of pain and full of insecurity has a wonderfully happy end. A happy end on all counts and much more than one would expect. Like all good love stories, we end up with a couple. Boaz and Ruth finally get married, and we hear that they are blessed with a child. The family so far has been heirless and is now blessed with an heir. This son will even one day become the grandfather of the glorious King David. And if all of that were not enough, the family even gets their old property back, and so the family can remain in the town records and thus not disappear from history. So even as the generosity of Boaz towards Ruth was much greater than necessary when they first met, you might remember that part of the story that Pastor Dave spoke about. When they first met, he gave her so much more than he needed. In the same way, this outcome of this bond now is disproportionately abundant. Naomi and Ruth had lost everything: their homes, their home countries, their hometowns, their bigger families and friends that they had lived together with. They had lost their husbands, they had lost their safety and their well-being. They had only each other left and their mutual care for each other, and now they get everything back and restored, plentifold and more than enough. They receive God's overflowing, abundant mercies. They are cared for. They find love and protection. They become well respected and ancestors of the greatest king ancient Israel ever had. So their difficult journeys end well. And I think that is why the Bible tells us such stories. We easily lose trust and hope when things don't look good in our lives. My beautiful profession is to visit patients in the Miriam Hospital. So I visited a man on Friday who was lying in bed and who had lost all his hope. They had found a mass in his intestines, and he was now waiting to find out what it was. It is possible that this man has a cancer tumor in his abdomen, but what kind of a growth this is, and what they will be able to do about it, and what the outcome may be with this, is completely open. But this man was sure that this was his death sentence. It seemed certain to him that he was going to die, and so he thought he might as well die right then and there. He refused to eat and drink for many days already. He refused to get out of bed, and he was speaking about even refusing to undergo the procedure that the doctors were offering to find out what actually he had. His emotions are, of course, very understandable. And I'm sure we all have times where we jump to conclusions that may be totally premature at the time. If Ruth had given in to these emotions, if Naomi had given in to her emotions when they lost everything, they would have never come back to Bethlehem, and this beautiful love story would never have been able to unfold. So we have a happy end. But how did it come to that? I find the evolution of happy ends often more interesting than the happy ends themselves. And I think that is why in fairy tales all end with, and they lived happily ever after, but they never talk about how they lived after. And we also don't know how Ruth and Boaz actually lived after all of this story. We don't know how the relationship came about. We don't know how the relationship between Boaz and Naomi may have unfolded. We don't know how they actually dealt with being parents all of a sudden, both of them, you know, older in age. But all of that is not the focus of these stories, because it is more about how it came about and unfolded and how the happy end became possible. So, how was it possible? Let's assume that Boaz was so friendly towards Ruth when they first met because he was actually a good and generous man by heart. But he probably also liked her and was kind because he was impressed with her and her character, her helpfulness, her dedication to her mother-in-law Naomi, and maybe her work on the field. We hear that she is incredibly efficient and hard-working. When maybe she was very beautiful, and maybe it was something completely else that touched Boaz's heart. Maybe when Ruth lay by his feet at night, her fearlessness impressed him and won him over. If we assume he liked her and he wanted to marry her, why then would he risk losing her to this kinsman who he offered her to, the next, how is it in this what we heard, the next in line kin? Does this not seem like an unnecessary and even dangerous move? Why did he not just marry her? Well, there was a law in ancient Israel that protected widows. And this law said that when a husband of a woman died, the brother of the dead husband was bound by law to marry the brother's widow. And if there was no brother, the cousin was bound. And if there was no cousin, the next in line in relationship was supposed to take care of the widow so that she would be all right. So the reason for Boaz to ask the unnamed kinsman if he wanted to buy the land and with it take the responsibility for Ruth was simply that the kinsman was the closer relative. So only when this relative of Ruth declined to marry her, the path for Boaz was free. Boaz wanted to make sure that he followed the correct legal path. He got himself witnesses. His sense for fairness and his responsibility towards the community and the law was stronger than his attraction to Ruth. I find that remarkable. What if the kinsman had snatched her away from him? What if he had lost this wonderful woman that we hear so, that is spoken so well of? It seems like Boaz was a very trusting man. If this was meant to be, he may have thought, it will work. The other question that remains to be answered is, why was the land of Naomi's husband linked to this whole deal? Well, when Elimelech, Naomi's husband, left Israel during the famine and that was ravaging its people, and when they all went to the foreign country of Moab, he sold his family's property. He went to like a pawn shop and he said, you know, I have to go. Would you give me a certain amount of money and then you have the response, you have the right over this land. So when Naomi and Ruth came back, they needed a financially potent person to to buy the family property back. They could never have done this out of their own because they had nothing to do that with. But Boaz had the means to buy back their land, and so their lives were restored. They found a home and a place of belonging again, and they had everything more than they needed, everything in abundance by the amazing grace of God. What I like so much about Ruth's story is that it is a love story, yes, a beautiful one, absolutely, but this love did not just fall from sky. It did not just happen. The players did their part in it. Ruth was very active. Naomi was very active. And Boaz was very active. All of them in their way embodied what I will call a strategic love. And when I use that term strategic, I don't mean it in a negative sense like a tit-for-tat love or if you do this, I will do that love, but in a way of being very proactive, very planful, very impassive about what they were aiming for. Naomi knew how she could get Boaz's attention when she sent Ruth to be with him. Ruth was active and planful about taking care of Naomi. She was not going to sit at home and wait for some miracle. She went and she gathered up the pieces of grain on the ground. And Boaz was very proactive when he carefully planned how he was going to go about winning Ruth's hand. He didn't want to break the law, and he wanted to make sure that Ruth did not lose her reputation and would not be harmed after her visit in the night. So Boaz's and Ruth's love is one of these beautiful stories where boundaries are crossed. Cultures and religions bridged. They both came from different countries. They both came from different cultures. They both came from different religious backgrounds. Prejudices were overcome. Prejudice. She was married for 10 years to somebody else. For a lot of people, that would have been a big problem. Prejudices were overcome, and differences united in a way that only love can. The double flow of love is so beautifully told in Ruth's story. God loves Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz undeservedly, abundantly, caringly, through thick and thin. And because of being loved, they love and pass on that wondrous love that we have all been given in our lives and that this story wants to remind us of. This love for the people around us does not come automatically. It is not, and by no means, a passive love. Love is active, and it has to be, otherwise it is not love. Love needs to find its expression, its formulation, otherwise it is not love. If we keep God's love to ourselves, something is not right about that. Love is maybe the only thing that grows and gets bigger the more we share it. Love gets more the more we waste it and pass it on. I want to tell you one more story from the hospital at the end. I met a young woman there, around 30 years old. She had a severe lung problem, a kind of very bad asthma. Her lungs shut down and she could not breathe anymore. She fell into a coma and was kept alive by a respirator. She was in the ICU for 3 months, unresponsive most of that time, and she had an acquaintance, a friend of hers, who she knew a little bit. When she got so sick and fell into the coma, this man all of a sudden realized that she actually meant very much to him, and he had never expressed that. He actually had never realized that before that moment. And so he decided to sit by her bedside every single day for 4 months straight. He would come in the morning and he would sit there. Most of the time, 3 months of that time, he could not talk to her. He would get no response. He would get no interaction with her. He would just sit there and wait and pray that she would come back and he could tell her how much she meant to him. And she came back by the grace of God and the help of modern medicine. The last month of the 4 months, they were able to speak, And they took out the trach and she was able to express herself. And when they left the hospital one day together with shining faces, they made sure that they come to my office and they wanted to say goodbye to me, and they asked me if I would marry them next year. So this is another story that shows us that nothing comes from nothing. Love is active, otherwise it is not love. Love is patient and it can wait. Love moves us to the most incredible things. Love can give us wings to fly high, and love can move us towards other people in kindness and care like no other force can. Love gives us the patience to hang on when things are hard in our own lives, and it is love alone that gives our hearts peace. And so I ask our eternal God, who is love, to bless us all and fill our hearts with this abundant love for our fellow travelers in this coming week and always. Amen.